Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To the River Islands guest line, and here he comes, Kurt Warner, on with Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. Kurt, thank you so much for doing this. And how would you respond to that, to the idea that Brock Purdy is, or his ceiling is, like a Nick Foles or like a Trent Dilfer? Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy that. And again, I mean, you have to kind of put it all in perspective that, you know, so much of it is about the situation that you're in, what you bring your team in that situation. So, I mean, I don't want to sit here and say Trent Dilfer wasn't a good quarterback or Nick Foles wasn't a good quarterback. Both guys obviously going to and winning Super Bowls. Of course, I just think you have to look at the body of work and you have to look at the situation that they're in. And you have to ask yourself the question, most importantly, is who do we think we have in this quarterback? And, you know, how does he fit into our system? And then maybe the last piece is there somebody else, or, and not even somebody else, are there numerous people that we think we could place into this situation and them play the position better than who we have? And those to me are the questions that every team has to ask. You know, I look at Miami, there's a lot of conversations about Tua and Miami and all that stuff. Tua, I don't know if he's as good in another system or other systems as he is in Miami. But I could also say, I don't know how many quarterbacks in the National Football League would be as good as Tua in that system. And so they went and paid him. Why? Because he's really, really good at what they're asking him to do, and they don't believe there's other guys out there or more than a couple other guys out there that, you know, chances they probably aren't going to get him anyways, a couple other guys out there that could play in that system as well as he does. So that, to me, becomes a big part of the equation. And then I think the other part of the equation is, if that's the case, what are you willing to pay the guy? Because I do believe there always has to be an element of understanding whether that player, that quarterback specifically, can truly elevate your team if you don't have all the pieces around them that maybe they've had. And I think, you know, Brock's a great example. They've had great talent. And they have a great situation, and I think Brock plays in that situation at an extremely high level and does things that I don't think there's very many quarterbacks in the National Football League that could do as consistently in that system. And that, to me, is where he's got tremendous value. But you also realize if you go and pay a guy $50, $60 million, you're not going to have the same pieces around him in most situations. So does he have the ability to elevate your team without those pieces? And that's where I think all of this comes in is, you know, is he a $60 million quarterback? Is he a $40 million quarterback? And I know the league has gone crazy in the standpoint that so much of it is next man up. Next man up, we've got to pay him, you know, more than the last guy got. I'm not a believer in that. Now, I don't know how you get around it. I don't have to do that as a general manager, but I'm not a believer that
everybody is just a $60 million quarterback because they're a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But, you know, you have to figure that out within an organization to say, hey, where's the quarterback see himself? You know, does the quarterback think he can go get $60 million somewhere else? Does he think he can be as successful in another system so he's going to hold out to get more money? Or do they realistically understand situation is beneficial to me? I'm a good quarterback, and together we have a chance to be really, really successful for me to have a great career. And so I do understand where I fit in the hierarchy of quarterbacks in the NFL, and I'll take what I believe or where I believe I fit. I'll take $40 million. I'll take $35 million to be a part of this and to have a chance to succeed for the long term.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. So you talked about system, and I know you've seen every snap from every team this year, which I love, by the way. When you look at Brock Purdy and the system and the scheme, why has it seemed like a regression from Brock Purdy this year as opposed to last year?
Well, I mean, yeah, I will say, I don't think Brock has played and seen the game quite as well this year as he has the last couple years, especially down the stretch here. And, you know, I can't explain exactly why. You know, in watching what they do in San Francisco, Kyle does an unbelievable job of building this offense around their run game and around their play action. And he does a great job of creating opportunities for guys and creating open players. But I also believe that the system and the way it's set up doesn't always get those guys open the way that, that Kyle wants them to be open. And what I mean by that is that it's not structured in such a way that, you know, if I've got a big in route that's running 18 yards, there's not always a guy underneath that in route. So if the linebacker falls underneath the end, I can automatically just go right to the guy underneath it, and it becomes an easy high-low read. The offense isn't always dictated that way. So the quarterback, you know, gets put in a position where it's like, find a way to make that throw if you can, right? And Brock does a great job of layering throws and have great anticipation and timing to be able to make some of these throws work that, you know, aren't really, you know, set up perfectly for him to make them work or for any quarterback to make work. And so I believe there are some challenges within the pass game of the 49ers that really challenge a quarterback. And so, you know, some of those throws are hard. And I've seen Brock make a lot of those throws consistently over the last few years. This year, not as much. And, you know, so you know when the game is hard, but we're in situations where the game is harder. I know we expect guys to make that throw every time, but sometimes you just don't. You know, sometimes those throws are just hard, and you can't make that hard throw every time. And it just seems like there's been way more of those situations and way more times when Brock just hasn't made the throw and, you know, when he hasn't seen the field quite as well as he has the past couple of years. And so, again, it adds another layer to this whole conversation, right? Is that, you know, if you're asking this conversation the last 2 years, you know, you're just like, man, you know, you're seeing a different subset of how he's playing. And then you have a bit of a down year for whatever reason. A lot of different things, obviously, are going on in San Francisco. A little bit of a down year, which now starts you to ask the question, well, okay, well, who exactly is Brock Purdy moving forward, and who's he going to be, and why is he not seeing it as well? I mean, I could say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is playing nearly as well this year, kind of on schedule and within the scheme of things. I think he's missing throws that he has made in the past. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. But I could look at that. He's just got enough of a body work, obviously, for us to go, all right, we're going to chalk this up, and probably more than chalk it up to a bad year, we're going to blame other things, right? We're going to blame the protection, and we're going to blame the weapons on the outside more than we're going to blame Patrick Mahomes, because he's shown us what he is. And so there's just so many factors that go into how we're looking at it and when we're looking at these kind of situations, and then having an understanding of play to play, game to game, how a player is really playing, what's really going on, and then probably what is their overall value, you know, to that team or to that situation, and, you know, what are we willing to, you know, to pay a guy because of whatever that skill set is.
Kurt, conversely, I want to ask you about Sam Darnold. A lot of talk about him here because he was here last year. Also, our friend Brian Baldinger came on earlier this morning and said he would try to flip Purdy for Darnold, even though that's not sort of really possible based on their situations. But I do want to ask you about Sam. Why has he suddenly popped and looked so much better, in your opinion?
I mean, the first thing just makes me laugh because, like, what about the last 2 years with Brock Purdy? Like, you know, I remember I kind of went through since St. Louis, too, is that, you know, went to a couple Super Bowls, won a couple MVPs, and then we had a down year after our, after our second Super Bowl. And, and people were asking, well, are you going to, you know, change quarterbacks and whatever? And I just remember Mike Martz at one point in the season going, what, are you guys a part of the amnesia crowd? Like, have you forgot, you know, what happened the last 3 years and how good Kurt was? Like, we're not just going to panic because we've had a bad stretch here, but it's almost like that's what we're doing in San Francisco. Let's forget about these last 2 years because this year hasn't been as good. And then the same with Sam Darnold. Let's forget about everything else he's done in the league because he's been wildly inconsistent. And although he's shown glimpses, he's never been able to put it together. And now he's having this incredible year in Minnesota, and we're already ready to say, oh, let's flop him and let's take this guy because he's having a great year, even though he's never shown the ability to put two great years together back to back. So it's so funny how we have such recency bias on so many different things in this league instead of just trying to figure out, okay, who is this guy? Yeah, that's what we need to know. Who is Sam Darnold? Is Sam Darnold the inconsistent up and down guy that we've seen most of his career, or is he the guy that we're seeing this year play with great confidence and being surrounded by great playmakers and being surrounded by a coach that believes in him and setting him up for success in a lot of situations? Is that what we're going to get from Sam Darnold? Is it just now he's matured, he's found the right system, and we're going to see this guy play this way the rest of his career? I don't know the answer to that, but I would have to see it. I would need to see another season like this before I'm ready to say that's who he is, because we've seen plenty of players in this league that, you know, run into one of those just magical seasons. They have a magical run, you know, in one season. They can win an MVP. They can go to the Super Bowl. Like, all these things can happen in one season. But then what happens is we normally see how this levels out. And you go, oh, okay, they had that one outlier season that was just better than everything else, and the rest of their career, they're this guy. And that's really what you're trying to figure out with all of these quarterbacks. And so Sam, I think, is in a great situation. He's playing really good football. You know, he's surrounded by a lot of really good pieces that have made the game easier for him. And so things have just kind of come together perfectly for Sam this year. But I want to see another year like this, you know, before I'm ready to go, that's the guy, and this is, you know, who we thought he could be. I want to see him stack another season together that's just not quite as perfect, right? The things around him aren't quite as good, and show me that you can still be a similar type player, and now I can invest in something like that.
Is it fair to put the Niners in that same bucket with Brock Purdy? Because last year, everything kind of broke his way. They were healthy, the schedule was easier, and he was amazing. And then this year, injuries, maybe teams caught up to the scheme, tougher schedule. He hasn't had the same kind of year. Is it fair for the Niners to still kind of have the jury out based on what you've seen?
Well, I mean, you know, Brock's had more than just 1 year. Like, right, he's been behind center, you know, quite a while now. And he's shown the consistency, you know, in my opinion, to say, I know who Brock Purdy is. I know what he is. And this year, again, if it was just Brock Purdy this year and not a whole bunch of other factors, you know, maybe that would give me a little bit more pause on who I think he is as a quarterback. But with, you know, seeing when the situation was, you know, was good and how they expected it to be. And he was always at a high level. He was playing really, really well from the time he became a starter up until, you know, this year. So that to me was a pretty good body of work to say, I know who Brock is. And I've even seen glimpses of all of that stuff this year. So it's not like all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not seeing him do anything that he's done the last 2 years. What the heck has happened to him? He still does a lot of those really good things within the offense. He just hasn't had as good a year. He just hasn't seen it as well. The situation, he's got different guys in there. The continuity is not there. It's just not the same. I mean, what about C.J. Stroud? What are we saying about C.J. Stroud right now? Is C.J. Stroud a top-level starter in the league because we saw him be Rookie of the Year last year and we saw him come on the scene and you were just like, oh, my gosh, this guy's incredible. And now here in his second year, he hasn't been nearly as good. And so now what do we say about him? So, again, that to me is why you don't really know who a quarterback is until you're 4 or 5 years into that thing and you can really see and have the consistency to go, okay, this is what he does well. This is what we can hang our head on. This is a guy that can carry us. Yep, he's going to throw some interceptions. He's going to do this. But you know, these are the things that we know about him. It's hard to tell after a season or two. You know, we just want to jump one way or another instead of saying, hey, let's ride the course and, you know, let's figure out who he is and then we'll figure out what his value is and what we're willing to pay him and all of those pieces from there.
The great Kurt Warner is joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Kurt, you know, we've talked to you so much about Purdy, and it's evident that there's a connection there, at least in your mind, because of the fact that you guys had, I guess, maybe somewhat similar paths in that you weren't high draft picks. And because of that, it does feel like you have to prove yourself over and over. What's that like once you've proved it and then you still have everybody doubting it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always tough, but you also understand it's the nature of this business. I mean, it's the nature of what we do, and, you know, and there's always going to be that and I don't say always, for a period of time, there's always going to be that underlying idea of this is why you weren't drafted, Kurt, right? You know, there was a reason you weren't drafted and became a free agent. And so every time there's a glimpse of something that doesn't measure up or isn't great, it's easy to kind of fall back in your mind or your mindset to just say, okay, here it is. This is why, right? You know, Brock doesn't have a big cannon arm, but, you know, so, you know, he's not going to wow us with throws like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or whoever that is. And so you're going to see that at times, and you're going to be like, oh, that's why, you know, he's Mr. Irrelevant. So he wasn't drafted high. Maybe that's the reason why he can't be good in this league or you know, we shouldn't pay him $60 million. So I just think and I think, too, as a player, I understood that. Like, I understood what my limitations were. And so I understood why people could gravitate to certain things. And for me, it was always – but here's the things that I do really, really well. Here are the things that make me different from everybody else. And so I could always kind of hang on the realism of knowing, yep, I'm not going to wow people that way, right? I'm not going to do that. And so, you know, the games that I struggle, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about Lamar Jackson. And, you know, Lamar is so good in so many different ways. But, you know, he had like another game where he had, you know, same amount of incompletions as touchdowns or you know, vice versa, whatever. And, you know, and when you watch him play, the amazing thing about a Lamar Jackson and why he has so many games like that is because when there's one time where a guy isn't open or he doesn't see it, he doesn't just have to throw it anyways. He doesn't have to try to make that throw into tight coverage, or he doesn't have to throw the ball away. He can go and create, you know, even if it's a 5-yard run, he goes and creates a positive play in a situation where a guy like me has to throw that ball away, take a sack, or try to, you know, make the perfect throw into coverage to get a completion there. And so I understood, like, those are my limitations. There are going to be some games where I throw 5 interceptions where Lamar Jackson probably won't throw 5 interceptions. Because where I know I've got to do something with my right arm, he says, I don't have to do that. I can go run around and I can do something else and do something positive for my team. I couldn't do that. I was stuck, you know, because of my limitations. And I understood that. And I knew there were going to be games like that. But I also knew there was going to be games where I was going to see it faster and I was going to make more plays and I was going to be more accurate and I was going to do those things. and that would carry me. But in those games where, you know, all those things just, you know, weren't easy and they were hard and I wasn't on the top of my game, I understood that, hey, those are going to happen. They are going to happen because I am very reliant on the things around me to, you know, to allow me to have success. I'm not going to go out there and be Josh Allen and be able to run around and run through five guys. And if I don't see it, you know, run for 30 yards and get a touchdown. It's just not going to happen. And so there's most guys in the league are like that, like me, that have limitations. And we have got to win with this one kind of skill set and strength set that we have. And anything that falls outside of that is going to be more of a challenge for us. And so, you know, Brock falls into that category, is that I get it. He is not one of those other guys. So he does need pieces to be right around him. And, you know, Jared Goff, same way. And he's playing great football and he's in the MVP conversation, but things have to be more right around him than they have to be for some of these other guys. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not valuable. It doesn't mean they're not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. It just means they don't have all the skill sets. And, you know, you guys know it. Every team would love to have Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's what every team would love to have. But there's three of those guys. Like, there's only three of them. And they're rare. And so, you know, to try to always compare really good quarterbacks to those guys and understand, well, you know, you're not having that many games where you have more, you know, touchdowns and incompletions, then you're not valuable. Well, you're just valuable in a different way. And that's what each team has to do. They have to value their guy in their way based on their system and decide, you know, what that number is for them if they're going to re-sign them to a deal.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on 95.7 The Game. Is it difficult to not press when you get in that spot? Because I'm looking at your three-year run where you go 35-8, you go to two Super Bowls, you win one, and then the next year looked like the struggle bus hit you, and Brock this year struggled. Is it very difficult in that spot to tune out the noise and to avoid kind of pressing and trying to do too much?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question. And, you know, and there's so many factors. You know, I was talking to somebody again, it relates to you guys. I was talking to somebody again about the Buffalo game against San Francisco, and where you guys had to go out and play in the snow. And, you know, a lot of people jumped on that one and go, look, you know, there's Brock playing in the snow, and, you know, then there's Josh Allen playing in the snow. And Josh Allen can overcome, you know, all the weather and all the conditions and all that stuff. And, again, no doubt Josh is a freak in that way. But, you know, what I was saying is, so if you're a guy that game is built off of seeing things quickly, anticipating, you know, letting the ball go because maybe you don't have a cannon arm, but anticipating throws and making that kind of a play, and you have to go play in the snow, it's not just because you can't play and throw in the snow, but there was no way for anybody to anticipate in that game. No longer did it become about anticipating because you had guys like running on skates that, you know, like they couldn't turn the corner. Their break, instead of being what would normally be 1 to 2 yards, became 5 or 6 yards. So now you have to wait for that guy to get open and wait for that guy to get out of his route. And then you have to drive this really big throw in there. And it's like, that's not who Brock is. And so, yeah, he's always going to be, you know, at a disadvantage in that game where Josh can wait for his guy to come out and then throw a laser in there because he's got this big cannon arm and he gets away with it. So you can't always just look at that situation and go, well, Josh is this and Brock isn't. Yeah, because Brock's strength, you know, in another situation, Josh may have an incomplete pass because he's holding it, waiting for a guy to get two steps open, where Brock lets it go before the guy comes open and boom, the ball's right on the money. And in another situation, Brock separating himself from Josh in something like that. And so I just think, you know, you just have to understand. And again, I'm just saying it again, is that you just have to understand who your guy is and what he does well. And you have to put a value on what he does well within your system, not compare him to the next guy, you know, not all of those things, but say, hey, in our system, here's what the value we put on it in our system, okay? How much does he need pieces around him? How much does he need things to be right? What can he overcome, you know? And the goal for every team is to win Super Bowls and to try to build a team that can win Super Bowls. And some teams, you know, can have a quarterback that can elevate their team and carry their team a little bit more than other teams. And that's where you have to piece together this entire pie of the, you know, the salary cap and how much you can pay a quarterback to still be able to build a team that can win a Super Bowl around that quarterback. And it's different for each and every guy.
Kurt, we could talk to you all day. We really could, man. Just great stuff. And by the way, for our listeners, if you want more content from Kurt and the film breakdowns and just all of this kind of content, it's really, really good. QBconfidential.com. That's the website, right, Kurt? QBconfidential.com. So send everybody there, and we thank you so much for the time today.
You got it. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Okay, you too. There he goes. Kurt Warner. Damn.
He's awesome.
We ended up doing a podcast with him.
Well, and my big takeaway is find a guy who fits your system. Forget trying to comp him to other people and other teams. If you got a guy who fits in your system, figure out what that number is to make it work, and you keep him.
Well, and stop having amnesia.
That was good.
Good Lord. The people who called in earlier today, they're like, what are we doing? Why are we talking about Sam Darnold versus Brock Purdy? Like, just raise your hand and tell us that you were born in December. That's all. Come on. We keep talking about this. Steve Kerr's on in a half hour. We'll get you ready for Warriors. But I feel we've been hanging out talking about this for 2.5 hours. I feel like I want to let it out.
Yeah.
Really? Really? We're like, just the world started at Thanksgiving.
Well, even beyond that, he mentioned three quarterbacks who you definitely would swap for, but of all the quarterbacks you would want, none of them are available.
Correct.
So what are we even talking about here?
Let's find out. We'll take more of your calls. 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr in a half hour. Dennis Schroeder said something that's going to make you love him. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Sam Darnold. A lot of talk about him here because he was here last year. Also, our friend Brian Baldinger came on earlier this morning and said he would try to flip Purdy for Darnold, even though that's not sort of really possible based on their situations. But I do want to ask you about Sam. Why has he suddenly popped and looked so much better, in your opinion?
I mean, the first thing just makes me laugh because, like, what about the last 2 years with Brock Purdy?
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's a lot of amnesia. Although, I mean, I do feel like the majority of our conversation today, I think a lot of 49er fans have Brock Purdy's back. And it's just a matter of the number. But as I said earlier, I really think we're making up stories in our heads. Like, we don't know what the number's going to be. I don't know what Brock's going to demand. I don't know what the 49ers are going to offer. And what's most important to me is if and when they do indeed sign him, I don't know who has to get cut. I don't know. I know we've made it up in our head.
Right.
Oh, Debo's gone. I don't know that.
No, not necessarily.
They won't sign Dre Greenlaw. I don't know that.
It depends on the number. And somebody earlier talked about Jordan Mason. And yep. Based on the running back market, I don't think he's going to go out there and get $7 or $8 million a year. He's going to get a small deal from whomever, and I would imagine he gets a small deal to stay here and be the backup.
Maybe, but he probably, if I'm Jordan, I'm not looking for money, I'm looking for role.
Right, and the role here looks pretty good.
Maybe. I mean, Christian McCaffrey has every possibility of being healthy and a bell cow next year.
He sure does.
I'd look for a spot where someone's like, you could at least compete for the starting gig.
I think that you go here and you are RB2 at the worst, and you're in a spot where McCaffrey has had not just the one injury, he's had a lot of injuries and he's getting up there, so not really appropriate for this conversation, but looks like Javon Hargrave likely won't be back. Mooney Ward is going to be a free agent. I don't think Dre Greenlaw is going to break the bank no matter what he does over the last 3 games. Debo is the interesting one because he restructured his deal in September, and he took a big chunk of his money in a signing bonus, and so the dead cap number for Debo is not that high if he's a post-June 1st cut. So you get through, the offseason starts, the draft, and all the rest of it. You get into June before minicamp and before training camp, and you cut him then the dead cap number is not so bad that you can't make that move if you need to.
Willard and Debs, and we're sponsored by the California Lottery. We're also presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Dennis Schroeder said he's been trying to get Steph Curry's jersey for his kids his whole career, and only recently was he able to finally track it down. click end scene, press conference over. Dennis Schroeder, everybody's new favorite warrior.
There you go.
And Steve Kerr joins us at 25 minutes.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Look forward to his first thoughts and his first glimpse at Dennis Schroeder out there at practice.
He had some interesting things to say about Brandon Bajemski's role as well, which we will talk to Steve about coming up again in 23 minutes. But right now, still talking to you about Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold. Brian Baldinger says, I'd flip him. And the further I get into this conversation, I'm just like, I'm like open hand to face on this idea. And that goes beyond the fact that it's not even possible. You can't trade a free agent. I have no idea what Minnesota's plans are going forward. But I just think I don't think you're crazy if you were like, oh, I'm intrigued by Sam Darnold. I don't think that's nuts. I just think that if you functionally try to play out logically what's being suggested, you're suggesting that the 49ers are willing to just be idiots. Like, you can't do that to a locker room. You don't do that to a locker room. You would be a clown show. If a guy comes in, he's your quarterback, he plays for $1 million, he takes you to two NFC title games, he takes you to a Super Bowl, and then right as he's ready to sign a contract, you go spend a bunch of money on his ex-backup to bring him in and go, no, it'll be fine. You guys compete. Go play. Do you have any idea what players around the league would think of a team that pulls a maneuver like that?
They would think it's a clown organization, and Jeez. They would think it's not a place where you want to go. And the other piece of it, put aside the perception angle, what they've done so well this year isn't win games, but it is create cap room. And they've got $51 million in cap space that you can carry over into next year. So why would you take that $51 million and take 30 of it to give it to Sam Darnold?
Sam.
And no disrespect to Sam,
no,
but created all this money so that you can pay Brock Purdy and be able to keep a majority of the guys you want to keep.
I'm so glad you bring this up, because I wonder if everyone gets that. If you're worried about losing other players, bringing in Sam would make it worse.
Exactly.
Markedly worse.
Immediately worse.
Way more expensive next year.
Well, if you pay Brock Purdy whatever the market says, 50, 55, 60, it doesn't matter. Not next year, but the year after, you're probably going to have to make some hard choices. And Trent will be 38, and McCaffrey will be 30, sure. 31, and George, and Debo, and you know all these players who are getting older and more expensive. Next year is when you have that choice.
Some of those choices might be ones that you want to make by then.
Yeah, exactly.
You might want to make them by then. All right, Jeff and Marin. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, Kurt Warner was just great. You know, and it's like, some fans have just got to grow up. You know, there's a difference between what you want to have and what you can have. And, you know, some people were coming in, well, we just need to get rid of him and draft the first round quarterback. Like, that's a cinch. Like, can you say Trey Lance? Look at that, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Meanwhile, you got Kurt Warner calling in, who's an undrafted Hall of Famer. You got Tom Brady, who's a 6th-round draft pick. You know, just because the quarterback's drafted in the first round doesn't mean that they're going to be a lock cinch in the NFL. Purdy has played well. How much they're going to pay him, that's, you know, the $64 million question, no pun intended. But I think it's something we need to hang on to him. I would like to point out one other thing here, maybe a couple, but this for sure. You know, we play Chicago, and, oh, Chicago's not a great team, but what kind of defense did they run? They ran a zone defense, and what did our offense do? Purdy looked like Purdy of last year. Our receivers look like the players of last year. We're racking up points, lots of yards. What's the problem with our offensive system? If they get into man defense, our receivers can't get separation. We get jammed up. Brock ends up having to hold the ball too long, and then he's trying to force the ball into tighter coverage. That's the problem that I think is twofold. One, it's on the players, and two, it's also on the design of the play. That's supposed to be, you know, Shanahan's forte is scheming plays to get his receivers open. I think, again, Warner was spot on. It's like, grow up. Yeah, we need to keep Purdy. I think he's good for the system. I haven't forgotten what he's looked like the last 2.5 years. Yeah. He's a good young quarterback, and you're not going to replace him easily.
No, Jeff,
One last point.
Yeah,
Jeff does not have amnesia.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Sam Darnold, I think, benefited from having Greasy's a quarterback coach, and the coaching on the 49ers. I think that's what really improved him a lot in terms of how he's playing this year with Minnesota.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. I think there's a lot of good points in there. There's a lot of good points in there. And there is, like, that is something that if, and this is a very layman's point, but it's something I'm curious about. I wonder if Kyle Shanahan got caught this year not quite ready for the league-wide switch to man-to-man against the Niners. That's way too simplistically described. But again, the Chiefs made that switch in-game, out of zone, they go to man, and the Niners struggled more, and then that gets the copycat league thing takes over,
yep.
And the offseason, everyone's looking at Shanahan's offense going, we're going to have to crack this code, and they got out ahead of him. They got out ahead of him, and Kyle did not have a good year. That's why both Steve Young and Jerry Rice said this week, guy's got to reinvent himself, but I hope that fans don't hear that and go, oh, Kyle finally got figured out. He needs to switch. No, this happens. This is part of the normal evolution.
Of course.
Like, he's done this before, and now he's got to do it again.
Well, and I also think that it's fair to look at a scheme in terms of success and failure based on the players who go out there and execute the scheme. And the offensive line has not been great at protecting the passer, and the passer has been on the run. Early in the year, he was choosing to run a lot more. Your best man beater held in, came in rusty, and then got hurt. He had about one good game in his season. He's your number one man beater. Your number two man beater got shot in August, and he was not ready to play until October, and he and the quarterback have never been on the same page. End of man beating wide receiver. So it's scheme, it's execution, it's injury, and it's also the quarterback. And Kurt made a great point during that podcast we just did about Brock didn't see it as well as he did the previous year.
No, he's not had a great year. That's okay to say.
There were guys who were open that he wasn't finding and he wasn't unleashing the football. So it's all those things. I do believe the scheme needs to get adjusted, but it's not as simple as, to me, defense has figured him out and Shanahan couldn't have a counterpunch.
He used the phrase recency bias.
Yeah.
And I think that's,
and amnesia, which I love.
That's pretty heavy. Like that is a big part of this conversation. And I get it. That's fine if how do you think Vegas builds its buildings? It's on recency bias. We watch a game, and, oh my God, the Bears almost beat the Lions. Well, oh, they're definitely only going to be, like, they should only be a 3-point underdog against the 49ers. Up, the Niners won by 1,000 points.
Right.
Like, all we do is remember what we saw last night.
Well, and also, like, you walk up to a roulette table and you look at the big board and it's been red 5 times in a row and you're thinking, it's gotta be black. It's gonna have to be black, right? Because it's black is due. Or you're the other person saying, yeah, red is hot. And I'm hot. Red is hot.
You are hot. Yeah.
Either way, like, you get these thoughts in your mind about what just happened, and therefore you draw these conclusions that make no sense.
And my dad, the math teacher, taught me that every single time that roulette ball rolls, it's 50-50, except for the little green ones.
And
but anyway,
I don't know if you've been to Vegas lately, but they added a third green. There's now 0, 00, and 000.
What?
It's a bunch of crap.
I have been to what? No, it's not craps. That's a different game, and I like that one much better than roulette, actually. I have been to Vegas recently, and I don't play roulette. But anyway, Bob in the city. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hey, that was an amazing interview.
Well, thanks,
Bob. He said everything I would have said.
He's pretty good, isn't he, that Kurt Warner guy?
He is amazing. Yeah, he is. I'm glad he brought up the comparison to himself. That's humble right there. I mean, so right there, he's giving you the experience of what, you know, it takes to be a quarterback. So I just feel that yeah, all this stuff is premature. I think there's a lot of people ready to jump the gun just because, you know, they want satisfaction. They want it now. You know, they want to change now instead of waiting the course. You know, you wait the course, you see what this guy can do. How can you not see what he can do? Anyway, in my opinion, I go all the way back when he was a rookie and it was a preseason game and they put him in the second half. Man, he went boom, 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 right into the end zone. And I was thinking to myself, my God, who is this guy? And I was so impressed with him. So when he finally took over after Jimmy got hurt, I was like, I was satisfied. And then you saw what he did. So, I mean, Brock is the guy. And I think we need to build a team around him and change some schemes. Get our O-line together, get our defensive line together, and I think we'll be all right.
Bob, thanks. I tell you what, you know, to Bob's point, here's one thing that I haven't heard yet that I would look for. If you want to dive deep, if you want to go have this conversation, and you're nervous about Purdy, yeah, that's fine. I get it. You'd be nervous about Purdy. Nobody's got a good idea of what else to do. No one has a good idea. You want to draft someone? The Niners aren't even in the top 10. Brian Baldinger suggests flip him for Darnold. That's not allowed. He's not available. And if he is, it's not through a trade. It's through spending a bunch of money that so many of us are worried they don't have.
You want to get another free agent?
You've laid out the list. You've laid out the free agents. They stink.
Yeah.
They stink.
Trey Lance.
So
Flacco.
Now here's what I understand. You don't want to look at and go, well, we have no other options, so might as well just break the bank and pay him. I understand if that's uncomfortable. I really do. But the way I look at it is this. Both sides are up a creek. So it would make sense to find common ground. The Niners do not have another good option. Neither does Brock. I said this about Brandon all summer, and it's times three for the quarterback, who, by the way, has never made a lot of money and is a seventh-round draft pick. The worst thing for everybody to do is get into a you-know-what match,
yeah,
and have this bleed into
Jeff's match.
My God, you'll look awful. He'll look awful. He won't get his money. You won't have a quarterback. You can sit there and play hardball, and so can he, and your team will stink.
Well, think about the problems this year. They were holdouts and hold-ins, and a receiver who, because he was shot, couldn't get on the same page as your quarterback. So you get into March in the new league year, wouldn't it be great for Debo and Ricky and Cowing and Juwan to be able to get their quarterback into some voluntary workouts and go play pitch and catch in some field in Arizona, get to know each other, learn the routes, learn the way Ricky Pearsall likes to run a bang eight, for example, and start to get on the same page in March as opposed to this year, which was, Brandon, you're rusty. It'd be great if you were up to speed. And Ricky, take your time. You have a hole in your body. And Cowing, you were hurt in camp, so you're far behind. And Debo, you either lost a step or you're mad at everybody. The whole thing offensively was broken.
Yeah, completely. It just totally soured. Kerry in Scottsdale next up. Hi, Kerry. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am begging you to tell me where I am wrong. I like Brock Purdy. I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he has durability, number one, for the long term, because I think he's got issues either from the shoulder or the elbow. I've been seeing a lot of floaters this year. I see him missing guys short. I see him missing guys long. You're talking about injuries. His accuracy has nothing to do with injuries. And I don't know how the technicalities work. If Darnold were available and you could get him for $30 million, would it not make more sense to get a quarterback equal to the value of Brock Purdy in talent and save $30 million to apply to a team that needs to get retooled with new, fresh players? That's where I'm coming from, and I think that's where Baldinger was coming from.
It's actually not a savings of $30 million. It's a cost of $30 because Brock's making $1.1 this upcoming season, so it'd actually be a net loss of $29 million this year. Now, for year two, if Sam's making $30 and Brock would have made $60, you can recoup it at that point.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I would detail it this way, Kerry. Like, you're looking for an answer as to where someone can tell you you're wrong, and I'm going to use it one word, resume. I'm sorry, it matters to me. I'm not going to sit here and accept that Sam Darnold is now amazing because you've all liked the last 14 games and that Brock Purdy now stinks because you haven't liked the last four. I'm not willing to go there. Plus, Dibs just laid out the financial aspect, which makes it harder. And then I'll add the one last thing, which I've said twice today. I think around the league, players would look at the Niners and say, you're a flipping clown show. You're a clown show. This cat came out of the seventh round, makes peanuts, takes you to two NFC title games, gets his arm completely rebooted, and produces at that level, and you reward him by making him a backup in year four and paying someone else $30 million who has been unsuccessful for the majority of his career to come in and take the starting job when he was his backup the year before, do you know how that would feel around the league? So, Kerry, I firmly, and so does Dibs, I firmly think we have the answer to your question. It's just an awful idea. I understand your conceptual thought. I really do.
I don't understand all of it because Brock has been durable. He missed one game last year because the coach didn't want him to play.
Correct.
And he missed one game this year because he was dinged up. He had the shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not the durability part. I mean in general. If you're nervous right now about the money and you want to keep playing the savings game, I conceptually understand where you're coming from. But this activation of your idea, in my opinion, is a bad one.
Well, and I also think you have to...
And not realistic,
and
even.
You have to think about the player, and I'm looking at Darnold in New York, 3 years, 59.8% completion, and he had almost as many picks as touchdowns. 2 years in Carolina, 59.5, 16 touchdowns, 16 picks. It's not until he gets to Minnesota where now he's at 67.6% completions. So in 5 years on crappy teams, he had crappy years. And now he's on a really good team, and he's having a really good year.
Yeah.
Can we see the correlation?
Of course.
Now, that means to me that he comes here, and he's probably really good. But Brock's here, and he's also really good,
right,
and he'd be making $29 million less than Sam next year when you have $51 million in cap space.
Man, I mean, Christmas is a week from tomorrow.
Don't remind me.
And since we've had Christmas, Brock Purdy went to overtime in the Super Bowl, and now we just flick, just leave. You don't do well in the snow.
Well, what else has he done since then? A lot of overthrows and some fumbles. Can't play in the rain, can't play in the snow.
What he's done since then is have another year of being one of the top 10 rated quarterbacks in the NFL and have better stats than Sam Darnold has ever had before in his life prior to this year. That's all. That's all. Steve Kerr joins us in just a handful of minutes. We want to wet the whistle. Listen to this, okay? This is Dennis Schroeder and his love for the city of San Francisco.
I mean, I was in the Four Seasons every time when we came down with the team. But then when you walked out, it kind of looked like Europe, kind of looked like Berlin, with the Twain right on the street. That's what we have, and had one store with German candy in it. I remember. So I loved San Francisco, you know, from the start. It was always great being here, playing here. Seeing the fan base when they went on a crazy one, how loud it got. And I mean,
from Matt Chapman to Willie Adames to Dennis Schroeder, we're suddenly on a good run of athletes loving the Bay Area again.
And I love him. It's the accent. It's the feistiness with which he plays.
That's a good start,
and
dude.
Is he talking about Ghirardelli? Is that a German chocolatier, or is there another chocolatier that he'd be referencing?
I don't know. He just said he found German chocolate in a store.
And I like the German chocolate.
We're going to have to ask him when he comes on. But he's not coming on yet. Steve Kerr is. Steve Kerr joins us next on what has been a big day. His reaction to Dennis Schroeder and his opening remarks, where the Warriors sit in the standings, and what Steve said today that was unfair to Brandon Pajemski. His own words. We'll tell you all about it. We'll talk to Steve about it. That's coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.